Well, as President Obama prepares to deliver his State of the Union address tomorrow night, there are a lot of people who would like to be his successor, thinking about what they might say about the State of the Union if they decide to enter the race for the White House. And history tells us the candidates should start announcing their intentions pretty soon. John Heilemann is managing editor of Bloomberg Politics and co-host of Bloomberg TV's With All Due Respect. He joins us from New York. John, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, here we are on January 19th, and at this point, 8 years ago, January 20th, 2007, Hillary Clinton officially announced her presidential bid. Barack Obama had jumped into the race on January 16th, 2007. And so far this year, we have no official announcements on either the Democratic side or the Republican side. Why do you think that is?
Well, we may very soon have some of those. And, the times in which campaigns start varies. People generally try to wait as long as they can. Back 8 years ago, as you point out, Barack Obama kind of called the tune there by announcing his exploratory committee when he did. And that kind of forced Hillary Clinton to get in. But, everyone would rather wait as long as possible. But you're seeing on the Republican side now all these really aggressive moves by Jeb Bush or some of the things that have sparked Mitt Romney to start talking about getting in the race and pushed up Chris Christie's timetable, which is why I say I think, you're going to see a bunch of people who are going to have to get in this race pretty quick.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the candidates. And I want to start with the establishment candidates, the dynasties, if you will, and starting with Hillary Clinton. Here she was back in September on a visit to Mexico.
I do have a unique vantage point and set of experiences about what makes the United States operate well and what doesn't, and what a president can do and should be doing.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that she's going to decide to run. And I wonder this, what kind of a candidate do you think she's going to be this time around?
That is a $64,000 question, maybe the $64 million question. She was in 2008 a terrible candidate for most of the year 2007. And for the early part of the year 2008. And then in the spring of 2008, she was a rather extraordinarily good candidate. When she was essentially mathematically in a position where she couldn't win the Democratic nomination, she suddenly found her voice. And she was a populist, and she adopted the stance of an underdog, and that allowed her to connect with voters in a pretty powerful way. And I think the question for her and for all of us right now, when you to get to the answer to your question, is which Hillary Clinton will we see?
Yeah.
The clip that you played just now is part of her problem. She doesn't have at this moment, it's not to say she won't ever have, but she doesn't have a compelling, clear rationale for why she wants to be president other than it's kind of her turn and she has a lot of experience. And those did not serve her well in 2008, when those were the reasons she articulated for running. I think if she finds that rationale, she could be a really great candidate.
Do you think that she is going to run a campaign that is a general election campaign, even during what could be a primary, that she's really going to be thinking about the general election rather than trying to fire up the base at any point?
Well, I think that depends to a large extent on whether anybody or anybody of substance decides to challenge her. If the field is basically clear, she will have a tricky balancing act. I mean, she still needs to get Democrats excited about her, even if it's going to be a cakewalk to the nomination for her. And so she needs to energize the Democratic base. She will be under some pressure to do that from people like Elizabeth Warren, who I don't think will run for president, but who certainly is making it clear that she wants to help shape the party's message in a significant way. So Hillary Clinton won't be able to just focus on the general election, but there's no doubt that if she doesn't have any significant opposition, she will have the luxury of being able to try to stay as close to the center as possible to prepare her and put her in a good position for the general election.
Okay, let's talk about Jeb Bush. And here he was back in December at a Wall Street Journal CEO Council event. He said he was considering a run but needed time to think on it.
I don't know if I'd be a good candidate or a bad one. I kind of know how a Republican can win, whether it's me or somebody else. And it has to be much more uplifting, much more positive, much more willing to, to be practical now in Washington world, lose the primary to win the general without violating your principles.
Could Jeb Bush get through a Republican primary right now, given his views on immigration and the Common Core?
Well, again, can't be definitive about that. But the history of the Republican Party is that the establishment frontrunner is usually the one who ends up winning the Republican nomination, whether it's Mitt Romney or John McCain or Bob Dole or George W. Bush in recent history. All of those people had significant had positions that were significantly out of step with the far right of their own party. But for various reasons and their strength and the dominance of the establishment wing of the party, they were still able to be the nominee. So if history holds, the two issues that you mentioned on which Jeb Bush is out of step with the base of his party, they will not hold him back if history holds. But the Republican Party is changing and has changed a lot over the course of the last even 4 years and certainly over the course of the last decade. At some point, we're going to see a deviation from precedent. Whether that happens in 2016 or not, whether the right is sufficiently strong or the establishment candidates are sufficiently, the establishment wing of the party is sufficiently fractured, at some point you're going to see someone who is a non-establishment nominee from the Republican Party.
But if Jeb Bush does make it through the Republican primaries, is the last name a big enough weakness for him in the general election to hold him back, the Bush name?
Well, you know, that again, a question to be tested. But there's no doubt that the Bush name is super unpopular, super, super unpopular among Democrats. But in a general election, the intense antipathy towards George W. Bush that is felt in the Democratic Party is not nearly as intense in the middle of the electorate as it was 4 or 5 or 8 years ago. The bigger question is now, I think, whether American voters who are looking to move forward boldly into the future, and this is something that holds for Hillary Clinton and for Jeb Bush, whether either of those people represent a break with the past and a compelling vehicle for transformation and that the party that the electorate tends to look for in a president. And so both of them have problems that are not just the problems of, like, do you like the Clintons or do you like the Bushes, but rather, do you represent the future or do you represent the past?
It's Here and Now. And if you're just joining us, we're talking 2016 presidential politics with John Heilemann, managing editor of Bloomberg Politics and co-host of Bloomberg TV's With All Due Respect. And John, we talked about Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush. Let's jump into some other names. Former Massachusetts governor and presidential candidate Mitt Romney told donors this month that he wants to be president. Could we really see another run from Romney?
There's no doubt that man wants to be president. You don't run twice if you don't want to be president. And there's nothing about losing that makes you want to be president less. So I'm not surprised Mitt Romney wants to be president. I think what's surprising is that he's thinking about running. Within his family, where there was significant opposition to him running a third time, that has now changed. And his wife, Anne, is now in favor of him running. His son, Tag, who's the most influential of the Romney kids on politics, is now in favor of him running. And so I think it's now a better than 50-50 likelihood that he will try to do it. There is precedent in the Republican Party for someone winning in their third run after losing the first two times. And that precedent is a man named Ronald Reagan, of course, who is a sainted figure in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
So your Romney supporters look at Reagan and say, well, if Reagan did it, why can't Mitt?
Okay. What about New Jersey Governor Chris Christie?
He's going to run.
He's going to run. Well, let's listen to him here. He gave his State of the State address recently. Here he is, sort of tiptoeing the line between national politics and state governor.
We need a New Jersey renewal, and we need an American renewal. And I renew my commitment to New Jersey today to make the lives of our citizens more prosperous, more healthy, better educated, and truly optimistic. So that when we stand here in 1 year, by the way, I'll be standing here in 1 year.
In 1 year, maybe not in a few years, but how would he position himself, and can he get past Bridgegate?
Well, first, what you heard there from Christie is the greatest strength he has. He is an exceptionally gifted communicator. He's a Republican who has managed to win election in a very blue state twice, once in a landslide in New Jersey. And part of his pitch will be, I am the kind of Republican who can compete in places that most Republicans can't. I could win in the Northeast. I could win in other states like New Jersey. The problem for him is that a lot of the things that are his strengths are also his weaknesses, as is true for a lot of human beings. His straight talk comes across as very brusque and too abrasive for a lot of people. And then there is Bridgegate, which you mentioned. And that's a big problem for him, not because he's going to end up in jail, but just because of the fact that a lot of Christie's strength came from the Republican donor class. here in New York City and other places, and a lot of donors who are mostly focused on how do we win, let's pick someone who's a safe bet to be able to take it to Hillary Clinton, they look at that Chris Christie after Bridgegate and they say, I don't know if this guy has the temperament to be a safe bet, and whether there are things, other things that people don't know about yet that might be there that might prove problematic for him in a general election.
Okay. I want to turn to a different part of the country altogether, and that is Kentucky. And we've got Senator Rand Paul, who's basically made no secret for quite some time that he is running. Here he is at a meet and greet at a diner in New Hampshire. He went after big government and lax disability laws that allowed some people to game the system.
What I tell people is, if you look like me and you hop out of your truck, you shouldn't be getting a disability check. You know, over half the people on disability are either anxious or their back hurts. Join the club.
What do you think about Rand Paul's chances?
Well, you're right. He's been made no secret of the fact that he wants to run and has probably done as much or more than any other Republican candidate to lay the groundwork for doing that. He's spent a lot of time in the early states already. He's been building up an organization. He's really an interesting candidate in the sense that unlike someone like Ted Cruz, who we may talk about on in a few minutes, unlike someone like Ted Cruz, who's a far-right bomb thrower, and unlike the establishment candidates we've already discussed, Rand Paul is somewhere – he's more unorthodox, right? On some things, he's very, very far to the right. On other things, though, when he talks about criminal justice reform or drugs or foreign policy, he comes across considerably to the left of many other Republicans. And so he would be not a favorite and will never be a front runner unless – the table turns in just the right way. But he's a guy who everyone will have to contend with in a significant way in 2016.
Well, it's interesting that you say Ted Cruz is somebody that we should talk about. Is he a serious – is there any chance that he's actually going to be the Republican nominee in 2016?
I think pretty close to zero chance.
Okay.
But again, you know, in a Republican nominating electorate, there's a chunk of that electorate, and it might be 20%, it might be 25%, for whom Ted Cruz is a hero. He's managed to annoy the mainstream Republicans, certainly outrage most of the Democratic Party. The media does not particularly like him, but he has raised his profile through his antics in Washington. He's raised his profile to a very high degree. And in a place like Iowa or a place like South Carolina that are dominated by evangelical voters in the Republican Party, when you get to the Iowa caucuses and the South Carolina primary, Ted Cruz will have an audience, will have a chunk of a constituency for his message. And he's a guy who will be a factor, even if he's never the nominee. He'll be a factor and could conceivably turn out to be the conservative alternative to whoever the establishment frontrunner is.
Is there anyone we're not talking about here that we should be who has a realistic chance of being the nominee of either of these parties?
Well, I think you have to think about some governors, which is what we haven't talked about so far. I mean, a guy like Scott Walker, who looks like he's going to run in Wisconsin, someone who has a big conservative constituency and has been the governor, now has been elected twice as the governor of a big Midwestern swing state. You'd say the same thing about John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, who not only won a huge landslide in Ohio, which is, as you know, one of the most important states in presidential politics, but he won it in a really interesting way. He won it by increasing his margins with minority voters. He got about a quarter of the African-American vote in Ohio, and for a party that needs to do better with minorities than the Republican Party has done at the presidential level recently, there's something very appealing about Kasich. He's a genuine conservative, but who's done a lot of outreach to constituencies that aren't normally Republican. So those two guys, they'll be dark horses if they decide to run. But you have to always look out for someone like that. There are a lot of people who thought Bill Clinton never had a chance until suddenly he was the front runner.
I have one more question for you, John Heilerman,
sure.
Which is, what do you think the issue of the 2016 race will be?
Wow. You know, I think it's almost always the case that for voters, and I would say this is something that kind of bridges both the general election and the nominating period, the economy is always in some ways the most important issue. And in a boom time economy, it's not the same kind of issue as it is in a downturn. But even in a boom time, the questions, I mean, right now, the American economy is doing pretty well if you look at GDP growth, if you look at the unemployment rate. But we still have a problem, a decades-long problem with stagnant wages and income inequality. And I think in both parties, talking about how not just to get the economy growing, but how to figure out how to get opportunity for voters who've seen their their circumstances stagnate over the past two decades. That is going to be a big, huge issue. The opportunity agenda on the Republican side and the inequality agenda on the Democratic side are going to be huge things in 2016.
John Heilemann, managing editor of Bloomberg Politics and host of Bloomberg TV's With All Due Respect. John, thanks so much.
Thank you, sir. Great to be here.
And, of course, this is just a snapshot. There are many possible candidates we didn't talk about. Mike Huckabee, Bobby Jindal, Jim Webb, Bernie Sanders, Vice President Biden, Lindsey Graham even yesterday made some comments. And we'll be checking in, of course, on the race over the next year and 10 months or so. You can weigh in on 2016 on our website, hereandnow.org, or Facebook page, facebook.com/hereandnowradio. You're listening to Here and Now.